This presentation was actually submitted by my graduate student at Madison, Wisconsin, and Elizabeth Miranda. So she is still the lead author on this presentation. She couldn't make it today, but she's been working on this project and actually this specific analysis, looking at the unique role of the mothers of children with intellectual disabilities as promotoras de salud. So I'll explain a little bit more about what that refers to. But I first should say that I have no relationship to disclose. So in this project, I'll tell a little bit more about the project, but basically the study describes the unique role of Latina mothers of children with intellectual and developmental disabilities as lay health educators or promotoras. So we train the actual moms that have kids with disabilities on the content of the project. And you guys are probably very familiar with the community health worker and promotora model, right? Most of you are familiar with that role. So I'm not going to read that slide. You know that there's a lot of research showing that this is a really effective way to reach different communities. And I was talking to one of my co-presenters about Brownsville, Texas, and actually, you know, I was at Madison, Wisconsin. I just moved to Chicago, but we took a group of students down there every year, starting from 2004, and then as the violence started to increase, we had to stop, but I think we went like 4 years in a row. But that's where I learned about promotoras, actually, because the Brownsville Community Health Center had promotoras that did various projects, and I said, what is that? What do they do? And so that's how I learned about it, but I really wanted to apply it to this project. Some of my research has shown that moms that have kids with intellectual disabilities, developmental disabilities, have worse health problems, particularly Latina and Black moms. As they get older, they have worse health problems than their peers, Latina and Black women that don't have kids with disabilities. They have more chronic health conditions, higher rates of depression, things like that. So wanted to figure out a way to try to address that. And so this project, we work with the moms with kids with disabilities. We feel it's really important that the promotora be a mother with a child with disability. They receive training on the health promotion curriculum. They conduct 8 home visits to deliver the content. We also have, and we're doing this in Chicago, And we piloted it in Madison and Milwaukee and then Chicago, and we're also doing a group mode of the same curriculum in Chicago right now. So we have pre and post test measures, self efficacy, positive health behaviors, depression and burden, and right now the project we're doing in Chicago is a randomized trial with 50 treatment and 50 on the waiting list, and then the ones on the waiting list get the program. So these are some of the preliminary results just to show you, you know, what we're finding so far. This is probably when we had 30 and 30 in each group. The two first columns, the blue and red, are the intervention group, pre and post test. So you can see that for all of these, they have improved their exercise, nutrition, and self-care behaviors by the post test. But if you look at the control group, which is the green and purple, they have there's no improvement there. So we're seeing some positive results from this. Same thing with self-efficacy. We see that the treatment group improved their self-efficacy and their health habits overall. They also reduced their caregiver burden through the project. So these are things we'll be finalizing the analysis on. But what this presentation is really about is, why are they having this kind of an effect? What is it about the promotoras that's really creating that kind of effect? We conducted focus groups throughout the entire project. So in Madison, in Chicago, with all the different promotoras that we trained, we did focus groups with them. We also do focus groups with the participants after they've completed the 8-week program. And we also have conducted satisfaction evaluations. And so I'm gonna present a little bit about the results of that qualitative work. Our theoretical framework kind of emerged through the study itself. You know, it's a mix of self-efficacy and what Elizabeth likes to refer to critical pedagogy. I'll explain a little bit about the similarities there. People here are probably very familiar with self-efficacy theory, the idea that you want the people that you're working with to become confident enough to be able to carry out the behaviors that you're working, help them change behaviors on. And a real key part of self-efficacy, there are several components, but role modeling is a huge piece of it. We find that that's a big piece of our study. So critical pedagogy, people have probably heard of Paulo Freire, and it often is referred to as education for critical consciousness, and it's based on the belief that through critical dialogue, people can reflect on their problem and situation and empower themselves to change the circumstances that oppress them. In this sense, the goal of the promotoras that we're training is not only about improving health outcomes and helping them access services and those kinds of things, but also awakening their critical consciousness so that they are making some real changes in their life. They're coming to that point where they're recognizing that changes need to be made and becoming empowered themselves. So our analysis, qualitative, interpretive study, we use different sources of data collection, including the focus groups, but also just looking at results over time, looking at these different projects that happened at different points in time as well. And so we also use inductive and deductive analysis. We did look at all of the focus group transcripts to see what emerged from that data, but we also applied some of the theoretical conceptual perspectives that I just mentioned to that data. And this is just to show you a little bit about the program and training. We conducted the training with the promotoras. I think for this particular project, which is based on improving their health, we had 2 full days of training that we provided for them. And even the training itself was a very dialogic process. We had a dialogue with the promotoras. They told us things that they thought would work better. We were able to adjust some of our content or material based on that, on their input. So it wasn't a didactic sort of way. Just to tell you a little bit about the content too, one of the things that we try to do is incorporate cultural issues into the content. So when you talk about nutrition, and this is an updated version of our manual because now we have the plate, right? Instead of the pyramid. We started out when it was the pyramid, and then we changed it to the plate. So the plate, mi plato, has these discrete categories of food. Many Latino families don't eat like that. Like, here's the meat, here's the vegetable, here's the bread. So you wouldn't present a plate like that, right? But so we talk a little bit about how you can mix these different things into the dishes that you already eat. So we really incorporate the dishes. We ask them to bring recipes. We really incorporate their food, that they eat into the concept of nutrition. So that's just an example. We do the same thing with exercise and all the different parts of it. And then this is just some of the feedback regarding training. The promotoras commented about feeling confident and able to help the participants. And then the participants also commented when we did the focus groups, they commented on both the content and the promotoras and what they thought was valuable in terms of the promotoras. So, they were clearly taking away some of the things that we talked about in terms of the content. One of the things we really tried to encourage them to do was to go to the doctor, because these moms rarely took the time. They took their kids to the doctor all the time. They had, their kids in the service system, but they really didn't feel, it's almost selfish to take the time to, to make an appointment for yourself and go to the doctor. So we're trying to counter that that idea of it being selfish. And so that was a really important piece of it. So in terms of the findings, we will discuss them in relationship to these 3 themes. Dialogue is one, coming from Freire, conscientización, or critical consciousness, coming from Freire, and then self-efficacy, specifically role modeling. We'll talk about examples of that So when we talk about dialogue, what we mean is problem-posing education in which the learner and the teacher become critical co-investigators. So they're working together, which I think fits Promotora work very well. And it has reflection and action. So I think that's a real critical piece that it's not, people reflect on whatever it is that you're working on, but then there's some action that they take as a result of that reflection. And so regarding the dialogue, this is a quote from one of the promotoras. One of them says it's a very mutual communication. So that's an example where it's not just her talking or a didactic training kind of thing that she's doing with the participant. Another promotora presents a whole dialogue in her comment here. She said, yes, because I allowed them to choose. Let's see. How do you feel more comfortable? Do you want to exercise or do you prefer to relax? Or do you want to eat healthy or are you going to make a doctor's appointment? The participants say, I need them all, but which one is best? She would say. And it's like putting it out there on the table, putting it out there, which is, which one do you need the most? This is the one that I need the most. Going to the doctor, when are you going to go? And so just following up on that conversation. And then we start to make those goals, and like that, they start thinking, what do they need the most? And they notice that all of the things are important. So I thought it was really interesting how she presented an entire dialogue in her comment. And then the participant, one of the participants says, the way she respected me was important. She never tried to go beyond what I permitted her. She would say, you know what, if you feel comfortable talking about this, go ahead, and if not, don't worry about it. Always that respect. I like that about her. So that's one of the benefits of using a dialogic approach is the respect, right? It's really important to respect people that you're working with. Then regarding concientización, so this is the Portuguese work. I don't know how to pronounce Portuguese, so I can't say that word. Anybody? The Spanish word is concientización, but Freire is Portuguese, he's Brazilian, excuse me, speaks Portuguese. Critical consciousness, and it involves developing critical awareness of one's social reality through reflection and action, consistent with self-efficacy in that way, I think. And one of the promotoras said that is our practice, that they continue with the impression that it's not just a visit, and that is that they continue with the impression that there was a change, that there's going to be a change for the rest of their lives. So that's the promotora's perspective. And then participants would say, then I start giving me time for myself, giving me that personal space without feeling that I was neglecting them completely. So it's really coming to a whole new understanding of what health is for them, because even the name of our project is called By Caring for Myself, I Can Care Better for My Family, because many of these moms really think it's selfish to take care of themselves. So now they're coming to a whole new understanding that it's not actually selfish. It actually benefits their family if they take care of themselves. So really just that realization is big for them. I want to study and I'm registered to start studying English. Therefore, yes, I am following through with them and I can make new goals. So the idea of setting goals and really trying to improve their lives, beyond even just the health issues that we're talking about, that's the action part of it. Okay, and then findings regarding role modeling, similar life experiences. We feel this is a critical part of the project, that these moms do have a child with a disability and they can relate to them. And then also modeling behavior. And this quote, I think, is an example of the modeling behavior and their awareness that they have to be a good role model, right? So she said, because I say I cannot go and talk about something that I'm not doing or tell her something to do and I don't like it. Therefore, one has to do the same thing to be able to like the change in eating habits, like making a habit out of reading food labels. That has to be part of you so that we can encourage it in another person. And we heard that a lot from the promotoras. They would say, now I have to exercise because I'm telling them to exercise. So the whole idea that they really recognize that they are a role model. So one of the participants says that, well, that helped me a lot because they send me a promotora that has a child the same age and disability as my child. And that helped me share with her, like they're in the preteen age of 12 years old, and she gave me some advice, how to talk to her, how to explain to her a couple of things, and yes, that helped me a lot. So we didn't always match, you know, age and disability, which I can talk a little bit about later, but sometimes it worked out that way. But even having the experience of taking care of a child with a different disability. I mean, most of the parents had children, and the children were between the ages of 8 and through adulthood. So they might have had an adult child living at home. Some of the participants were older adults themselves. But just being able to talk to somebody who understood what it was like to, you know, to have that. So a lot of the kids had like Down syndrome, autism, intellectual disability. In general, so a range of different developmental disabilities. So to summarize, we work with the promotoras, who are mothers of children with disabilities, and their role went beyond increasing health habits and reducing stress and depression, and they developed critical consciousness. The promotoras developed consciousness first, and then they realized that it was best for their own well-being. In fact, we went a couple weeks ago. We went to visit two of the promotoras that were trained 2 years previous, and they're doing work. They're doing the program in a group format, and so they were just talking to us about the program. And it's always best when you're not eliciting the information, right? So they just brought up, you know, how one of the promotoras talked about how after being trained in this program and working with a few families, she went to the doctor, and her doctor reported that her diabetes was under better control. So she herself had improved her health. And then another one talked about issues in the family where, you know, her children that didn't have disabilities, you know, they were like adolescents or adults, and they expected her to do things for them, like, you know, their laundry and all the different things. And she felt empowered to tell them, no, you know, I have to take care of myself, and really kind of get that across. And so, you know, working with the family. Another thing she told us is that she got divorced after after the program. That was not an outcome that we're looking for at all. But I thought it was interesting because she really felt like the situation wasn't working for her, and that she felt empowered to actually change that situation. I mean, it was a really challenging marriage. So. You know, just the empowerment piece was really interesting to me. But challenging some of the gender issues, gender roles, right? So the promotoras helped participants develop consciousness as well, and we heard about participants taking action on their goals. So just in terms of implications, am I done?
No. You've got a couple more minutes.
I've got a couple more minutes. Okay, implications, yes. So training the promotoras, using the dialogic process in the training, and also providing monitoring and support, I think that's really important. We had somebody in the agencies we're working with that they could report to on a regular basis. Using culturally relevant material. And the idea of dialogue is that it's not banking education, right? It's problem posing. So banking education is when we go sit in the classroom, my students come and sit in my classroom, and they're expected to learn all this stuff, right? That's what Prairie referred to as banking education. Concientización, encouraging critical consciousness and role modeling. Some of the challenges, just real briefly, that we did run into is that sometimes we did have situations where the disability was not compatible or not similar between the promotora and the participant, and the participant didn't feel that the promotora could understand the challenges that she was facing. So you can, you know, that can happen. Also socioeconomic level, one of the things we found is that if the participant had a higher socioeconomic level than the promotora, sometimes it didn't work out because they felt like they knew more. So, you know, maybe people have run into that situation. Then gender challenges. I mean, some of our promotoras did run into, in some cases, doing home visits. They had to arrange to do it somewhere else because the husband didn't want them to do it. This was the minority of cases, though, not the majority, but it did happen a few times. And also children having these gender expectations of their mother and having to re-educate them about that. So those are some of the challenges. And we'll do the questions at the end, but I do want to acknowledge our funders. And then also contributors, and I want to mention Rebecca Paradiso, who's right there. She actually helped develop the curriculum when she was an undergrad, and now she's in a PhD program ready to graduate. So Rebecca's been a part of the project as well. And then these are the community-based organizations that we work with. But that's it, and thank you very much.